It's time for the Phenology Report. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And this is our last meeting in February. The month only has 28 days. It would have to have 32, I guess, for us to get around to another Tuesday, and that's not going to happen. So I wanted to just review a few things that I have over the years discovered in the month of March. And these are sort of in a chronological order. So the first thing that I look for in the month of March is the emergence of the pussy willows. And typically that happens around the 3rd or 4th of March. And naturally, those are the little fuzzy catkins that you see on the willows. And some of them, I have one in my yard that breaks its fuzzy buds in November. And I don't use that one to count because it's an odd duck. And it's not going to flower any sooner than those that put out their flowers today or tomorrow or in the early part of March. But this warm weather certainly encourages that kind of behavior. And with pussy willows and with a lot of these early flowers, they're very hairy flowers, very hairy. And that makes them get warm quickly and stay warm. So that hair traps the heat and it helps the flower to develop. The pussy willows typically are not going to throw pollen until mid to late April, maybe even early May. So it'll be a while before they really develop into the full-fledged flower. But right now, a lot of them will be poking out from underneath their bud scales, and it's always an encouraging sign of spring. I know that rain is in the forecast. Typically, the first rain of the year occurs the average for me is the 14th of March. So we will see. And of course, average is only the, you know, composition of all the dates that I have for the first rain. And sometimes it's earlier and sometimes it's later and sometimes it's right there on the 14th. But 14th is the average. The other thing that happens in early March is the amazing little saw-whet owl is going to come back to northern Minnesota and begin to call. And you will probably hear this call. It sounds a bit like the alarm on a truck that is backing up. So these owls are tiny. They're like the size of a pop can. They're that small. That's the saw-whet owl. That's the male calling. He's trying to attract a mate. They migrate, and they will be returning to northern Minnesota sometime in the next couple of weeks. And you may or may not be lucky enough to hear that call. But if you do hear it, recognize it and understand that it is one brand new visitor to northern Minnesota, and a tiny one at that. I mean, these birds don't weigh as much as a robin. Now, they don't look anything like a robin. They look a lot more like a can of soda. They're stout and short and wide, and they have big eyes that are in the front of their faces, just like all the owls. And they are absolutely amazing. It's been a winter of owls. We've had boreal owls, northern boreal owls. We've had great gray and northern hawk owls. So we've had a number of owls in the area through the winter. And now we are probably going to be saying goodbye to many of those as they move north. But know that the saw-whet owl will be shortly coming in to occupy those territories. Canada geese, we will probably start to hear or see Canada geese around the middle of the month, around the 20th, 21st. 22nd, Canada geese will be back. First chipmunks emerge around the 23rd of March. Robins on the 24th, red wing blackbirds on the 28th, great blue herons on the 29th, and killdeer on the 30th of March. Those are all average dates. So plus or minus, depending on whether it's an early or late spring, but those are things that you can look for in the month of March. And it's an exciting month. It's a month for lots of things to take place, lots of things to happen. And of course, by the end of the month, we will be seeing some of those early April events coming to fruition as well. In the last week, red poles at my feeder, red poles over at Dallas Hudson's feeder in Akeley, red poles on a lot of the reports from the kids this morning. So lots of red poles in the area, and they will probably hang out here until, I think I have dates going into May before the red poles finally all disappear and head north. But they've been kind of slow to get into the area. Dallas Hudson reported that the trumpeter swans that are frequenting Shingleby Lake, they come in and they land on top of the ice and they stand around out there. He said they are beginning to exhibit some signs of courtship. I heard hairy woodpeckers drumming. I was down in the cities over the weekend, and coming north out of the cities, I was probably 30 miles north. I hadn't gotten to Mora yet, but I saw a red-tailed hawk sitting in a tree along the edge of the road. I also saw two roadkill deer on my way down early Saturday morning. And just after dawn, just after it got light, there were ravens. On the first one, there were five or six ravens. On the second one, there were, then this one was later, this was about 8 a.m., so the sun had been up for an hour or so. There was a bunch of ravens, probably seven or eight, and there were two immature bald eagles, big, dark brown bald eagles that were all dining on this fresh road-killed deer. So lots of things going on there. Let's see. Walking around yesterday, well, actually, back up a step, Sunday, as I was coming back from Minneapolis, I noticed that the willows are starting to show some color, and it starts in late February every year. The different species of willows have different colors. I've seen orange, I've seen yellow, I've seen coral, I've seen red, I've seen burgundy. Just a myriad of colors out there that you can check out on the willows, and they're going to get even more intense in their colors. This is usually the new growth on willows that has the most color. And if you're driving along and looking, if you're, for instance, if you're coming or going from Duluth today or up to Bemidji along the Highway 2 corridor, there are just miles and miles and miles of willows along those roads. And every one of them is going to be becoming quite colorful over the next few days. So keep an eye on them. The red osier dogwood, which is usually down in that same wet kind of ground where the willows like it, the red osier dogwood is typically growing in ditches. It's not in the water, but it is very close to the water. It likes it damp. And it is becoming very, very colorful as well. Birch trees. And this is the time of year when I tell people, you know, if you're looking for birch trees, look for red. And the branches on the birch trees are getting, as with the willows and the dogwoods, they are becoming progressively more red as we move into spring. And so if you are looking across an expanse where there are birch on the far shore, the stems, of course, the bark is going to look white, but the branches are going to be dark, and they will be quite red in their appearance over the next few weeks, is what I've noticed. The aspens, the trembling aspens, continue to open their buds. They belong to the same family as the pussy willow, and even though we talked about the pussy willow as an event that takes place in March, aspens also put out the same kind of flower, fuzzy little catkin that this time of year is just that. It's just a bit of a wad of fuzz along the branches. But they are becoming more and more common. So I've had several aspens around my house that have broken bud earlier. In fact, one that, like that willow I talked about, breaks its buds in November. But those, just like the willows, those buds aren't going to do any developing until much, much later, probably mid-April, before they actually get to where they're looking like flowers. I wanted to kind of summarize some of this warm weather that we've been having and talk a little bit about some of the signs that are resulting from it. First of all, the snow. If you are out, if you've been out walking around, you probably have noticed that under the trees, there is some places it's completely bare, and especially in areas where the exposure is to the south. That is called aspect. Aspect is your relationship to the sun. So if you are a south-facing hillside, you're going to get a lot of sun. And if you are a north-facing hillside, you're not going to get very much sun. So you're going to have different levels of snow on both sides of that hill, for example. In walking around yesterday, I noticed that the snow was quite a bit reduced from what it had been. And the other thing I noticed, that every tree, every shrub, every little dark brown stem sticking up out of the ground, out of the snow, had a little circle melted around it. Sunlight strikes those branches and it warms them and it melts the snow back away from the trunk of the tree or the stem of the hazel, whatever it happens to be. And that is subject to something called albedo. And albedo is the reflectivity of something. So something that is absolutely black would have an albedo of zero. And something that is absolutely white would have an albedo of one. And that's the range. So it goes from zero to one. So if you came across something that was, say, had an albedo of 0.3, that would mean that 30% of the sunlight that struck that object got reflected back. In the case of something that's totally black, 100% of the sunlight striking it is not reflected back. It's just absorbed. And that makes things warm. And so anything that's discarded on the surface of the snow right now, like a oak leaf, or I saw a bunch of fronds from bracken fern, all of them were cutting down into the snow because the snow is near one for an albedo, and the bracken fern and the oak leaf is probably at 0.3 or 0.4, and that heat that gets absorbed into those dark objects causes them to melt down into the snow. So look for the gaps around the base of the trees and the shrubs, and look for like oak leaves especially that have blown off of the red oaks and are now cutting their way down into the snow. Couple of notes about air temperature. First of all, yesterday was the first morning where my minimum temperatures were greater than 32. So it did not freeze. Sunday night, Monday morning did not freeze at my house. I had temperatures of 33 and 34. And so it didn't get to freezing at my house overnight on Sunday night, Monday morning. From February 12th through the 18th, the average temperature for the whole day, taking the high and the low, from the 12th to the 18th of February, the average temperature was 2.5 degrees below zero. From the 18th to today, the average temperature was 7.6 degrees above zero. So a 10-degree change there between the two weeks in terms of how warm it was for the average temperature over time. So things are changing. The sun is very powerful, and it is making a pretty big impression on the on the snow and on the things that are laying on top of the snow. Finally, Dallas Hudson, who does a lot of ice fishing, and a teacher that I work with, a fellow by the name of Jeff Johnson, who's also an ice fisherman, both reported that the ice is pretty thick. Dallas reports 31 inches of ice on Shingabee Lake, and that is the third most ice that he has recorded in 30 years. 2015, he had 34 inches of ice, and in 2009, he had 32 inches of ice. And he said that he expects if we get some cold temperatures that it might go to 32 or 33 inches of ice before the season ends. And Jeff Johnson told me last week while I was visiting his class that he was dealing with 32 inches of ice where he was doing his fishing. So lots of ice out there. Cold temperatures, not much snow makes for a thick layer of ice. That's our Phenology show for this week. As always, if you have comments, questions, or observations you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with us.
You can catch Phenology at our website, kaxc.org, or sign up for a Phenology podcast. Also, a way on our website to sign up for that Season Watch newsletter. You get information weekly about our conversations about the natural world and great things, suggestions from our Phenology coordinator, Charlie Mitchell, about what to be looking for this time of year.